Welcome in to another Locked On Bills training camp edition, day one. I'm your host today, Kevin Misery, here with Nick Wotan from the Bills Wire. As always, we try to get Nick on a special Thursday show. It's usually one of our better shows, Nick, and excited to have you here. Today, we're going to actually be talking about, I want to talk about the offensive line and then a couple of things we're looking forward to in camp and what we need to see in camp as a team progression. Nick also has a few thoughts on the defense, the money that the Bills and the assets that they've put into the defense. So get into that a tiny bit. Nick, how you doing today?
Kevin, thanks again, as always, for the excellent introduction there. Always appreciate it. And I'm doing pretty well. Football's back, Kevin. Can't complain. I've been coming on here for the last couple months with you, and I can remember the dog days of June and July, but here we are, so let's
definitely,
do it.
Definitely the dog days of late June, early July. Brutal. Definitely some topics and some storylines. Josh Allen signed, obviously. The Bills did sign Keenan Robinson, a backup, well, I guess, pretty much plays. They were looking at him at strong, they were looking at him at will, and even Mike. So backup versatile linebacker, and worked out Orleans Darkwa and Jared Crick, some early housekeeping notes. We'll get into a little bit of that later, but I want to talk about the offensive line first, Nick. It's a topic that I've seen across the board, from being like by far the worst unit in football to like serviceable, like really good run blockers, the ability to create space and limit the pressures. What's your initial reactions off of the, you know, Deion Dawkins, John Miller, Russell Bodine, Vlad Dukas, Jordan Mills potential starting lineup? With a battle with Teller and Groy. I mean, there's some solid depth pieces there, Nick, but what do you think about, you know, the O-line as a whole?
That's kind of what I think about it as a whole there, yeah. Kevin. Yeah. Everyone kind of takes a grain of salt with Pro Football Focus. Fans usually with PFF, it's, if it benefits your team, they love them. And if it doesn't, you hate them. Last year, the Bills, works. Yeah, right. Same thing with the writers and columnists. Everyone likes the nice guy and hates the bad guy. But
we know that firsthand in Buffalo.
Absolutely, absolutely. But yeah, Kevin, at the end of 2017, PFF, Bills, number 7 best offensive line in the NFL. And what happens when you lose 2 Pro Bowlers? I'm referring to Eric Wood and Richie Incognito. Well, they go all the way down 22 spots to number 29 in their rankings. Now, I think the Bills are definitely going to take a hit with Richie Incognito and Eric Wood as well. I think that they're being underestimated quite a bit, especially some of the guys who have been on the Bills for a bit now, Kevin. The guys I'm referring to are Ryan Groy and John Miller. I think that those guys, I think Brian Daboll's offensive scheme is going to benefit guys like that, and I think they are going to be able to step in and look better. I'm not saying they're going to be great, but I think they're going to look better than a lot of people think.
Okay. I mean, I agree with you. There was times throughout career and for Ryan Groy that he was better than Eric Wood. I mean, it doesn't take much to think that, especially last year. I thought that Ryan Groy was a very serviceable starting center, one that can easily be between the 15th and 20th ranked center, and that's what he was ranked, and I think that was appropriate. So I think that that's a little dramatic. I get the downfall for Mitchie Incognito, but I do think that they drafted a really solid player in Wyatt Teller that I wouldn't be surprised by, you know, preseason game 3 and 4 is taking first team reps, Nick. I mean, he's a guy that I had as a third round pick. He fell. It was a deep interior offensive line crew for one of the first times in the last 10 years, how deep the interior offensive line was in the draft. So Wyatt Teller is definitely I don't even know if you call him a sleeper, but as a fifth round pick, you kind of get that designation automatically. Marshall Newhouse is another solid backup offensive lineman. Is he a guy that's a top 10 left tackle? No, but is he a swing tackle in this league? He absolutely is. And so is Russell Bodine. I mean, very good in pass pro. I mean, he's not the best run protector. He doesn't miss games. So I think that that's something you gotta account for. And he's going to be another guy that's going to be in your top 7, most likely, with Newhouse.
Yeah, I think the one thing with every single guy you pretty much say here, Kevin, is there's so much versatility on this offensive line. I mean, Newhouse was taking reps at guard and minicamp in a reserve role, but I mean, even he has versatility. Bodine and Groy both have played guard in their career. Groy played, I think he was out with swing tackle a couple times last year.
Sure
he's played everywhere in the offensive line, so Ryan Groy, no matter what, isn't going anywhere, I don't think. And Teller is going to be an interesting one. I defer to PFF a lot for offensive line type things, Kevin, because we can
there's no
pick
other
apart. We can pick apart Josh Allen's accuracy because we have numbers behind it, but we don't have a whole lot of numbers behind offensive linemen. It's very much an eye test for us, an offensive lineman. But Wyatt Teller, he was named one of the sleepers of the whole entire NFL draft by PFF. The Bills picking him up in the fifth round. That's right, Kevin, at the fourth.
Yes, correct. The fifth.
Okay. Yep. And I'm very. He's definitely one of the guys high on my list to see what he can do. Because he kind of almost reminds me of John Miller coming in. John Miller, I believe, was a third round pick back in the day, a couple years ago. Came in and started right away. A couple struggles early, but for first two years of his career, eventually, Anthony Lynn called him one of the guys who got snubbed for the Pro Bowl, I think, 2 years ago. All of a sudden, last year, of course, I don't think Rick Dennison's zone blocking scheme did a lot of favors for a lot of these guys. But a couple guys, I think, as I already mentioned, Ryan Groy, he came in, spelled in for Eric Wood, probably did maybe better than Eric Wood would have. Aside from he came in the middle of the Seahawks game off the bench, a little shaky. After that, didn't allow a sack the entire year, Ryan Groy. That's pretty good, not allowing a sack in seven straight games.
He is a very solid backup lineman. I mean, I think he's still like the top 25 paid centers, and as a backup because he's versatile. He's good. He can do a lot of different things for your team. I like Ryan Groy. I don't think there's much of a drop-off from a late stage, as Eric Wood will say, at that point. Wyatt Teller comes and brings immediate depth at the guard spot, if nothing else. Let's say he isn't able to beat out Vlad Dukas. Well, guess what? He's not a lot worse than Vlad Dukas. Dukas ended up picking it up in the end of the year. Actually surprised me, Nick. I thought I'd be calling for Dukas' head, and he was okay at times. So I'm okay with Dukas. I think he's a great backup guard. That's what he is.
So what you're saying is he started to approach Colton Schmidt territory, but he pulled himself out of there.
He didn't. I'm fair. I give people chances to pull himself out of it, and Colton Schmidt has never done it for me. So Vlad Dukas is not a guy that I'm out for. I mean, I see a lot of people out for Jordan Mills, which is interesting. Played really well. I don't know what to tell you. There are plays that he looks like a little kid out there. There are. But there's like 80% of the game, he's rock solid. He really is.
I mean, you got to almost tip your cap to Jordan Mills at the right. This is how many years in a row now that they've brought someone in, Marshall Newhouse, I'm referring to
another
this year.
Another offensive coordinator, too.
And another offensive coordinator. They brought in another guy to beat him out and take his job. And this will be what? Got to be the third year in a row or so. Because I think he joined the Bills 2 years ago, maybe
three
years ago. And I mean, last year, of course, it was Deion Dawkins who was supposed to beat him out in training camp. And Dawkins simply could not, which was kind of a revelation of how Dawkins came in and replaced Cordy Glenn so well. Because if you remember at first last year, the Bills did not want to put Deion Dawkins at left tackle because at right tackle, he couldn't beat out Jordan Mills. All of a sudden, they put him there. And I don't know if Deion decided, left tackle is sort of the anchor of the offensive line, if you will. You got the center, which hopefully the Bills won't miss Eric Wood too much there.
I don't think so.
He was at the back end of his career, but there's a leadership and there's sort of just the mental aspect of the game that Eric Wood probably will have more of than Ryan Groy, at least. Russell Bodine's got a few years of starting. But back to Deion Dawkins there, I got a little distracted. I don't know if Deion just decided, hey, I can be a cornerstone left tackle here, not a right tackle. Time to pick it up. And of course, he did for a rookie. I mean, we were going to look a little bit more for him in his second year to take that next step as a sophomore, and hopefully, definitely not a sophomore slump for Deion Dawkins. But they've been just trying to get rid of Jordan Mills, and you can't get rid of Jordan Mills.
He came in 3 years ago in 15. Right off, they claimed him from the Cowboys at that point. He's only 27. Since then, he's never been hurt. He's going to give you it all, and he's going to be healthy, which is an interesting kid. And I've had my ups and downs with Jordan Mills. I'm not sitting here like Jordan Mills is the best player that ever played, but you know, you got to give him credit for what he's been able to do as the 43rd ranked offensive tackle by PFF. I mean, I'm not sitting here saying that the 43rd overall offensive tackle deserves a cookie or an award, Nick. But I am saying that that's where a right tackle is ranked. That's where all the other right tackles are ranked. League. I mean, I can go down the list of right tackles if you prefer, but they're all there with him. And Laramie Tunsil's there. I mean, you have players that many consider that Layla Collins is there. I mean, Joe Barksdale, you have Brandon Schell, you have Joe Haig, and the list goes on of right Remmer from Minnesota. The list goes on of starting right tackles that are there with him. So
yeah, I think there's maybe just been a couple Unfortunate times, I guess you could say, for maybe Jordan Mills here, where he's gotten beat bad, right? And in a position like that, if you're a Bills fan, because Bills fans, you know, they remember that. They'll remember the they'll do their due diligence, as Sean McDermott says, to remember the bad things that happen instead of the good. But Jordan Mills has been consistent, but a couple times, man, he'll just get spun around. Something ugly will happen. He'll come back. He'll bounce back.
He does. That's the thing I like about Mills. He can have the worst play I think I've ever seen, and then be rock solid after that. So I give him credit. He's a 76.8 pass blocker, which is actually good for 27th in the league. So he's a very solid pass blocker. That's the one thing people don't know. And he's a poor run blocker. I mean, I think that's what's gotten him into trouble, and it's gotten him into trouble with the zone blocking scheme. And I think that this is going to help. I think Dable is going to put in a scheme that's more versatile for him. A little bit more power, where he's going to work with Juan Castillo. And another name we haven't brought up at all, I wanted to bring up to end the segment, Adam Redmond. It's a guy that I saw personally taken under the wings of Juan Castillo last year. I'm looking forward to seeing from my days at camp, which is limited to a day right now from Lockdown Bills. We'll be at camp right now on August 5th live. So we'll get to that date next week for tweeting questions. Nick may get a day as well. So look out for him. But Adam Redmond is a guy that has been really, really thought of highly and kept over from year to year. I think he's a guy that could sneak on as a last offensive lineman and be a guy that can provide some solid depth. I don't know if you know anything about him.
Actually, I'm going to rebuttal that one, Kevin, with another guy who you just made me think of, who's kind of the same boat as that. It's only been for a year now, but Connor McDermott at right tackle. I mean, he's a huge guy. If anyone who's been around him will tell you, that guy shot to that big and tall XL, whatever the hell the store is called, because he is a mammoth of a man. He is like 6'8". He is huge. He makes, I think, Jordan Mills look kind of small. And Jordan Mills is also huge. So, he was, I believe, a fifth or sixth round pick of the Patriots last year. The Bills claimed him off waivers, so they had to put him on the 53. He was inactive for every game. That kind of you know, gets my gets to the gears going upstairs. Like, you know, Kevin, they never activated him. They never put him out in the field. They never did anything with him. But they just kept him around, so they gotta like him.
That's something the staff will easily. This is a staff that does not give you time. They'll cut you if they don't think you're the right fit. They don't mold many players. You've seen them move on from players and talented players. And I think the same for Adam Redmond's in the same boat. Got four games in 2017 before coming to the Bills at center. So I mean, he's a guy that they've liked. I mean, 6'6", a really smart guy, 300 pounds. There's a lot to like, and I agree with McDermott. There for Sean McDermott to agree with Connor McDermott. There's a lot of talent there. He's a massive guy. He didn't look very good. Patriots cut him. Bill said we like something about him, and I like the. So here's what I'm going to say. We're going to end up this segment, Nick. I like what the Bills' offensive line can do depth wise. I actually think for once you're not, you know, approaching guys where these are undrafted free agents that you don't really know anything about. These are guys that they've either designated and held over for a year, or draft picks, or guys that have started prior. Like, you know, Bodine has a lot of long-term career in starting. Croy, obviously, Ducasse, you know, played all last year. Jordan Mills just cannot get him out of the lineup. So these are guys that I think are deep. Like, these are guys you want on your roster. Do you have that high-end Dallas Cowboys starting level caliber? No, you don't. You absolutely don't. So,
kind of hoping that competition brings the best out in them, I guess you could say.
That's the key in this position group, and I think there's some talent and there's some depth. So if you lose Vlad Ducasse and Wyatt Teller has to go in, I don't really think you lose much. So I think that's key for any, you know, for any backup to be on par with the starter. I think there's some benefit there. Nick, wanted to get your takes on a couple of things. What are you looking forward to at camp? I mean, we talked a lot about the offensive line. You know, you might be watching that a little bit, but what else are you looking forward to at camp? And what do you need to see from this team? I mean, today's the go day, and press conferences are about to start any minute. So what do you want to see?
Well, I mean, I think the one thing on everyone's mind, Kevin, if you're walking into the gates of St. John Fisher College in the next little bit here, if the football is in the air and it's coming off of a hand, you are probably going to be watching that about 80 to 90% of the practice. One of these quarterbacks, they got to step up. They got to take control. They got to say, I'm number one. At this point, I'm sort of in the mindset of, I kind of want it to be anyone but AJ McCarron.
Wow.
And from what I know about McCarron, you know, good guy, but almost not deserving of an opportunity, is what I'm told from sources in Cincinnati, Kevin. Okay. But
$4.5 million. Many people thought we got a discount. Nick does not agree.
I think I'm fine with the contract. But I think it'll be more beneficial for the Bills in the long run if it's Peterman or if it's Allen.
Okay.
Allen, I'll start with it. I mean, of course, you want the rookie to get in, you want the future to get in there, right? Of course, that's going to be beneficial. With Peterman, kind of in the same mindset, I think long-term, I mean, if you got your Jim Kelly and your Frank Reich here, say, knock on wood, don't you want Frank Reich to get a couple reps in before Jim Kelly takes over here? That's kind of right.
I've heard that argument before, Nick. I'm like 50-50 on that. I see both sides.
That's the argument I've been drilling in, that I think if Nathan Peterman, I think if it's a 50-50, if it's a two-dog race here between McCarron and Peterman, I think you go with Peterman. I mean, the gauntlet to start the season. I mean, 5 out of 7 on the road to start the season. First 4 games are at Baltimore, home against the Chargers, and then on the road against two, I think Minnesota's on the road, correct? I know Green Bay there at Lambeau.
Yep, they both are.
So they're both on the road. I mean, damn, that's a hard 4 games. So if I'm making a smart decision, I think it's
Chargers
Peterman.
Last year.
And Nathan needs some redemption. I mean, come on.
if there's a game that I would like to see him play, it would be the first 2 before Josh Allen takes over. There's some credence to that, Nick. I do see that side. My argument isn't for AJ McCarron. I want that to be known. My argument is for just play Josh Allen. Then, like, I think you could use those 4 to 6 games that you're going to give Peterman. I think that would help his long-term development. I'm not a believer that you can get shaken up like David Carr did back in the day. I'm a believer that you go out and every quarterback that's ever been good played from day one. Look up the stats. I just saw him tweeted a couple of weeks ago about quarterbacks taken in the top 10, and anyone who got game time action ended up better than most you thought. So that's a note. I check out those statistics. It's interesting. Really sitting has worked in limited scenarios in current NFL history. So it's, you know, it's worked in your Philip Rivers case and obviously your Aaron Rodgers, but it's rare, Nick, that a quarterback who wasn't able to play came in and was good. And we'll see in Jimmy Garoppolo, but that's because Tom Brady was there, not because they wanted to groom him so much that they just traded him rather than keeping him. They should still have Jimmy Garoppolo. But the point being, it has not worked to your advantage to groom a player, in my opinion. Statistics show that. So I think you can take your bumps and bruises, and maybe you could take an injury then never rebound from it. I think that's a thing. But I want Josh Allen starting from day one. And I do see your opinion, though, on Peterman. I get where you're coming from on that contract to be a number two quarterback, to develop a number two quarterback. We're not doing enough of that in the NFL. So,
yeah, I'm more of the team of I like to have fun with my football, Kevin. So I want Josh Allen to play. I mean, this offense isn't looking too pretty right now. So, what the hell? Throw Josh Allen out there. Let's go. Exactly. I like to have fun with my football. Call me old-fashioned, but I like to have fun watching football.
Maybe he'll use Charles Clay, too. So he does have Charles Clay and Kelvin Benjamin. So
don't get carried away now. Come on.
No, I don't want to get carried away that the Browns are a playoff team because they got Tyrod Taylor. So I don't want to go there today. Nick, what else are you looking for beside quarterback? Give me something.
Well, Kevin, as we were just mentioning, the offensive side of the ball, a lot of holes. They addressed the quarterback question.
Yep.
Still a lot of questions. We started off the show with the offensive line. Didn't even touch the wide receiver group this episode. We've talked about it plenty.
We need a whole
We've talked about it plenty before. We've been there. We've done that. But the Bills decided this offseason to inject life into that defense when it already carried them to the postseason, of course, more so the secondary. They did have some holes in the front 7. Preston Brown left. They brought Tremaine Edmonds in. Signed Starla Tulia to a big contract. Same with Trent Murphy. Brought in a couple rotational depth pieces along the defensive line.
Even
Keenan Robinson, as of late, is now in there. Linebacker could play all 3 positions. A lot of new life in there. But that just because you pay good money and just because you inject new life in there does not mean it's going to work out. So I want to see this defense. I want to see these new guys mesh in with our quote-unquote old guys. A lot of them have only been there for a year. I'm thinking of the secondary with Tre'Davious White, with Micah Hyde.
And they injected Vontae Davis, who many think are better than Gaines. So
Yeah, yeah. So I want to see how these new guys come in and mesh and how that's going to work, because a lot of the question marks, a lot of the what'll happen, what if stories, pieces you're reading are on the offensive side of the ball. Just because they paid some money for some guys does not mean it's going to work. A lot of Sabres fans are listening to this too. In recent years, that hasn't worked out too much. Yeah. A little bit more with them, but even just Bills fans can name off a couple guys that haven't exactly worked out as free agent signings. So just because they paid Star Lucchese a lot of money doesn't mean it's going to work. Just because they got a plan doesn't mean that other teams aren't going to prepare for that plan. So
that's true.
Let's see.
That's true. Star Lucchese was designated by Bean as a difference maker. Doesn't get credit for the analytics that he should. Opening up room for Tremaine Edmonds, who's absolute monster. We'll see him starting today. It's going to be a pure upgrade from Preston Brown, in my opinion. I think you're getting a pure upgrade there as maybe one of the most talented linebackers to come in the league and play alongside another growing talented linebacker, Matt Milano, another year in the system, Nick. I think in Vontae Davis, when good, he's good. I remember hating to play against him at times. So there's going to be good players on this off. Not even to mention the defense acquire a lot of cornerbacks to compete for that nickel role in Taron Johnson. So I'm really looking forward to it. And Cyron Neal could have a special hybrid role too in this defense. Like, it's going to be a good defense. And they were looking at Jared Crick to add even more depth, who's been solid in run stop. I think it's going to be a good defense. I think it's going to be really interesting. Can they lead them to some wins that they shouldn't have this year? That's more the question that I have. But that's all we got for you today. With these press conferences coming up, Nick gave us a heavy hitting information. Love having him on Thursdays, and we'll see him again next Thursday now with all the content coming out. But really appreciate your time, Nick. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, definitely, Kevin. As you said, we got a couple press conferences. Sean McDermott's going to kick us off, and Brandon Bean will be there as well, I think, to start training camp. So those are all going on at 4 o'clock in BillsWire.com. Our team is going to be recapping all of them. So what did Sean and Brandon say? BillsWire.com. You'll find out.
Check it out. They always have the heavy hitting information over there at Bills Wire. But from Locked On Bills is going to be a wrap. I'm Kevin Masseri, and that's Nick Wotan.